This is The Allusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, mow language's lawn. To warm up, here's some word history. Whatever happened to thou? And its comrades, thee, thy, and thine? They used to be all over the place, being the singular form of you. Yeah, that's right, it wasn't always the case that English had one word for both the singular and plural forms of the second person pronoun. There used to be two, but like languages such as French, the plural form, you, was also used as the polite, formal way to address someone, and evidently English speakers in the Middle Ages were so polite and formal, the informal singular thou disappeared almost entirely. It hung on for a bit in some Northern English dialects and the Quakers' vocabulary, and in quite a lot of poetry and religious texts, thanks to which thou's reputation has effectively done a 180, and it became more formal than the formal you. I think it's because thou seems archaic and old things gain a certain authority just by being old. I know Grandma says terrible things, but show some respect because she was born before the First World War. On with the show.
Look at your little face. Who's a cutie pie? Who's a cutie pie? Here comes the aeroplane.
When you're talking to a baby, it's hard to maintain dignity. In fact, even the baby, who can't talk, thinks jigsaws are for eating, and is probably sitting in its own effluvium, is more dignified than you at that point. But good news, all those stupid voices and banal rhetorical questions are helping the baby to learn language.
My name's Ben Jeffs, and I'm a child psychologist.
Here comes the child psychologist.
Most parents instinctively talk to their children in a way that helps them to learn language. If you listen to a typical adult talking to a one-year-old or an 18-month-old, they get this sort of sing-song tone in their voice, and they're elongating vowels, and they're talking very slowly, and there'll be a lot of big exaggerated facial expressions and hands moving around. And that is interesting for the baby to look at, first of all, so it holds their attention in that way. But also what it's doing is it's helping them to identify the rhythms of speech. It's helping them to understand where one word is starting and finishing and a new one is starting. That's what adults do instinctively when they're talking to children. It sounds ridiculous and sometimes you feel like an idiot, but it's actually sometimes I find quite hard not to do that when you're talking to a baby. It's hard to just talk to them straight like you would to an adult because it's almost hardwired in you to do that, to help them to learn speech.
Because I'm not a parent, I have the habit of talking to children probably as I'd talk to them as adults. Am I damaging them, therefore? Am I inhibiting their ability to learn?
I don't think so. I mean, it sometimes gets called baby talk. Baby talk helps, but it's not essential. I don't think you're doing anyone a disservice by not talking to them like a baby, even if they are one. I think you can get away with it.
Whether you talk to a baby like they're an adult,
or a baby,
the most important thing is that you are talking to them.
The language centres in your brain are developing as they're being spoken to. When a child hears speech, that's triggering that part of their brain that processes speech and learns new words. And if that part of the brain isn't being activated like any muscle, it becomes less interested and that part of the brain starts being used for other things. So it starts to limit the potential of how good your language will be after a point because you're not exercising those muscles that need to be exercised.
After what point is it very difficult for them to catch up? What are the most important years verbally?
The most important years are the first ones.
Wow.
Yeah.
So until they start talking, you feel like you can get away with it, but really not.
Not really. I mean, it would be wrong to say that that it's all about the first year or two. It's not. But the first years are the most important ones, definitely. If a child hasn't been spoken to much by the age of 3 or 4, it's going to take them an awful long time to catch up. And it will probably affect them in some way for all of their school life, if not beyond that.
Oh dear, so if you're a parent who's so knackered, the best chat you can muster is... That's another pebble to throw on the mountain of guilt. Now, in most cases, when adults refer to themselves in the third person, it's the verbal equivalent of wearing sunglasses in the dark, a sign that a celebrity has embarked upon a one-way journey into the Valley of Vanity. However, parents of young children tend to talk in the third person a lot, both to refer to themselves and the child. Let go of mummy's eyeball! No, that's mummy's sandwich. Where's baby? That too is performing a valuable function.
Parents instinctively, from when their children are very young, even from when they're born, will start to help them to establish a sense of self in all kinds of ways. Physically, from when they're born, you'll see parents stroking their children's faces and tucking their fingers into the palms of their baby's hands. And what that's doing, aside from just being a pleasant sensation for the baby, is helping to establish their physical limits, to say this is where your body starts and this is where my body begins and this is the boundary between us. So just in that way, they're helping children to understand themselves and who they are. But then as they get older, as you say, verbally, parents will help children to establish a sense of self in lots of different ways. But by talking to their children in the third person, saying mummy and daddy and using their name, what they're really doing is giving that child three very important words. They're giving their child the names of their two most important caregivers, and they're also telling them who they are, what their name is. So they're giving them the potential to differentiate between themselves and their parents. And at that stage is when they can start to verbally understand that they are different from other people around them.
At what sort of age can you stop referring to yourself and the baby in the third person and start using normal pronouns?
Well, you don't have to decide for yourself. Children are quite good at doing that sort of thing for you. So it's around about the age of 18 months that children will start to use their own name, to refer to themselves in the third person. So before that, they might use their own name, but it'd be part of a game, or it'll feel like they're just parroting it back to you. But about the 18-month point, it becomes clear that they understand that that is them, to be used exclusively for them. They'll say it and they'll point to themselves in the same way that they'll point to their mum or their dad. And it's clear that they understand that these people have these separate identities. So that's around the 18-month mark.
So that's when they stop being just solipsists.
Yes, yeah, exactly. They start to use the language independently rather than just as part of a game or something that you're telling them to say.
They understand that other human beings are a thing.
Yes, right. Yeah, exactly. They understand that other human beings are a thing. And you, via that use of the third person, they've learned that, first of all, those two important words, mum and dad, but also who they are.
I also wonder whether this instinctive inclination towards using the third person and titles is to avoid pronouns, which are a really tricky part of speech.
Indeed, and they're a nightmare. You're quite right.
Yeah, because they mean different things according to the person who's using them.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So to teach a baby that I is also me and you can be I, yeah, it's an almost impossible thing to teach, but children are surprisingly smart at that way, in that way. Even at 2 years of age, they start to acquire this themselves.
Oh, phew. Those tiny but brilliant baby brains are capable of untangling many linguistic problems automatically. Research also shows that children raised to be bilingual or multilingual are able to sort out which language is which, even when they're only a few months old, even though they can't talk yet themselves or necessarily understand what's being said in either language. They can distinguish between each language's pitch and word length and the different facial movements, and it might typically take them until they're 3 or 4 years old to be able to speak without muddling up the languages. But that's alright, because whether they're using one or many languages, infants are often just jazzing it. A lot of the time, when they form a phrase correctly, it's luck rather than because they've fully grasped the construction.
Some of it's guesswork. Sometimes it's uncannily accurate. Mm. It's amazing how a two-year-old can pick up a little bit of grammar without you being aware that you've taught it to them. They get very good at it very quickly, and they're very, very curious. Your typical two-year-old will spend an awful lot of time saying, "What's that? What's that? Where go that? Like, where are we going? What are we doing? What's that for? Why?
The whys go on for a remarkably long time.
My niece, when she was that age, used to catch me in what I would call the why loop.
Ugh, we've all been trapped in this existential circuit.
You want to engage your niece and talk to her nicely, and we'd say, okay, well, we're going to go to the park now. Why? Well, it's a nice day. It's a fun
the
place
answer
to
is
go.
Obvious.
Why? And she would keep going, and I couldn't figure out at what point I should say, okay, that's enough now.
Because you've got to respect them for being inquisitive, but on the other hand, it does feel like they're mocking you.
Right, indeed, yeah, yeah. And at what point is it okay to say, can you stop being inquisitive now, because I've answered you 6 times and I just want to kick this football around.
Go and watch TV. Shut it down.
Time for last orders. Your randomly selected word from the dictionary today is decrepitate, verb, brackets of a solid, close brackets, disintegrate audibly when heated. Try using it in an email today. The Allusionist is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX. This episode was produced by me, Helen Zaltzman. Thanks very much to Ben Jeffs and Martin Austwick for the music. You can find the show at Facebook and Twitter /AllusionistShow and at theallusionist.org, where there'll be a new episode in 1 week. Here comes the end!